Welcome to Stronger Than Failure, where we provide you with in-depth interviews with entrepreneurs on their struggles, victories, goals, and how they got started. We also give you the best tips, hacks, and information on sales, network marketing, credit, and mindset mastery. Now, here's your host, entrepreneur and author, Danny Cole.
What's up, Stronger Nation, and welcome back to another episode of Stronger Than Failure, your home for motivation and entrepreneurship. I am your host, Danny Cole, and with me is Blake, the bodybuilding, stethoscope-wielding, vitamin-pushing barber.
Bruh, how long? Did you just roll that up?
On the way in, I'm driving. I was like, man, I've got to make it good.
Man, that's impressive. I got just a little moist listening to that. That's good right there.
All right, Sarah Lee.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Bill, you look out, baby.
Shoot, that's good, like the show's going to be today. This is going to be a great show.
All right.
Man.
I'm buckling up right now.
You buckling up?
I'm putting it on the seatbelt.
Well, in a second, the people going to want to know about your week. But I'm going to give them a little information about the show first.
Let's
go.
Then
we're going to talk about you.
Let's do it.
All right, folks. First, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the show. We love you. We appreciate you. If it was not for you, we would not be here. So if you like this show or any show that we have done, please make sure you tell everybody about it, because everyone deserves to be on part of the show, because everyone is stronger than failure. And because of that, folks, we've got a great show for you today. If you've ever wondered about the security business, about bodyguards, things of that nature there, then you are in for a treat. We have got the owners of MDS Security in with us today. We have got Leonard L.T. Taylor.
What's up?
Marcus Stroud today.
How y'all doing?
Leonard has been in I got to start over right there. We go live, and sometimes it's Danny Cole trying to talk take two.
Seatbelt a little tight.
That's it. LT's got over 25 years of security experience and 18 years with the Department of Homeland Security.
Yep.
Some of his milestones while working in the security industry include putting together the security teams for the BET Hip Hop Awards and the Soul Train Awards. He is currently the security coordinator at the Fabulous Fox Theater.
Working, baby, working.
That's it. And LT's main goal with his longtime friend and business partner, Marcus Stroud.
Yes, yes.
Who is the brainchild of MDS Security, is to take their company to the next level. Marcus is a former Department of Homeland Security officer and has also worked for the Department of Aviation, and said they aim to make MDS Security one of the top leading black-owned protected agencies in the country. I love it.
Power, baby.
That is strong. Sure.
Yes, sir.
All right, folks. So you already know this is going to be a great interview, but real quick, right before we jump to this interview, because I know you want to hear it, Blake, your family, dude, your friends, everybody wants to know, what's going on with you? How's your week been?
Bro, I'm just trying to get stronger than failure in the gym, man. I'm trying to build a big boobage like yourself. Look at that. Don't mean making them dance. We got to get some video in here, baby.
Going to have to. Apparently, the guy's live today over here. We got to start doing live video.
What do you mean,
Mark? LT and Marcus, they're going dirty live on Instagram
live,
and Facebook.
Live, so, baby. I'm on Instagram. He on Facebook.
Oh, man. We left back in the 80s along with the Soul Train Awards.
We got the black and white TV. We're trying to tune in. So real quick, the coronavirus, you know, it's getting, I guess, to the end, so to speak. Has business picked up? Has business still down? What's going on business right now?
Coronavirus. What's that?
Exactly.
Hey!
I'm with you. I mean, this is a big...
Serious.
I don't know what a lot of people think about it, but as far as my view, I really was never fearful in the beginning. It's not as bad as what everyone thinks. And you and I talked about the real numbers as far as the death cases, you know.
Yeah.
They're not as high as what a lot of people were thinking.
Right.
One. Two, I think it was 70% or 80% of the people who did die were over 70, which is the same thing for the flu every year anyway. Not like it's a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from that because, you know, there are deaths involved. But it's not what the media and everything is pumping out there. I mean, what do you think, Blake?
No comment.
No comment?
I stay neutral.
You're going to stay neutral? All right.
Because no matter what you say, you piss people off.
Oh, you know, people get mad, and I get that. You know, everyone's got an opinion, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. You can't hate me because I've got an opinion. You know,
I love you.
That's my opinion.
And your opinion.
There we go. I love it. All right, well, folks, we're about to jump into it because he's giving me the eye over here. We're about to jump into this interview. So, folks, get ready with LT and Marcus because this is going to be a great interview. Before the show, these dudes have got a lot of energy. I don't know how long they've known each other, but you already know.
Too long.
Too long.
Too long.
How did you two guys meet? Because, again, y'all got great energy.
We actually met working with the Department of Homeland Security.
Really?
Right after 9/11, we actually started up TSA, one of the first second classes that started it up. And, you know, we've been friends ever since.
Nice.
I can't get rid of them.
Like a wart.
Just won't go away.
Yeah, man. Like you said, we met at the airport, TSA, man. All the training, everything they taught us. And we just, we took that and started our own, man, because we see what it is. And with me, like I said, 25 years of doing this, security is what we do, man. We've tried other things. I mean, I had the music labels. We had two music labels, you know what I'm saying, put music out.
Really?
We did everything we possibly could to just follow our dreams. And if anybody ever talked to me, one thing you just need to know is just follow what you want to do, man. If this is what you want to do, do it. At the end of the day, I can say I tried. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have any regrets.
Mm-hmm. You know? That's it. That's what so many people do have is regrets. They've never, they've gotten ideas and they got aspirations, but that's it. They don't follow through on anything. And on that deathbed, you're just filled with regrets.
I mean, it's a lot of fear. A lot of people have been brought up to just feel like if I do it and I fail, then I've made my life worse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But if you do it and you succeed, then you're on another level. So why not do it and why not give it a chance? You know, as long as you got God behind you and you push forward, you're good.
That's it. And I like what you said, as long as you got God behind you. That's something. Yeah, Blake and I both, and we're believers. And
amen.
If you put God first, definitely, man, everything else falls into place.
Definitely.
Now, I got a quick question. You said y'all tried two record labels together before?
We actually had a record label together.
All right. Now, one thing, like, what made y'all want to do that right there? And two, because a lot of people, one thing that when somebody starts their business, that's the only one they've ever started when they see them being successful. You know, I've had businesses that fail before. And so one, like, how long did it last? And what made y'all say, let's do something else?
So here's the thing about music. I love music, first of all. That's just, my household is always full of music. My motto is, I love what I love. Barry Gordy is my role model. You know what I'm saying? So when we started the label, I thought I was Barry Gordy. I studied everything about Barry Gordy. The autobiography of Barry Gordy is one of the best books to ever read. It talks about everything from the Temptations to the Jacksons. I mean, that whole era is in that one book. It's great. But we started the label for the love of music, but also with the dream of, you know, just going platinum, just traveling everywhere. It's more of a lifestyle, man. That's how we was thinking. You know what I'm saying? I always felt like I can do whatever I want to do. Exactly. That's how my mother raised me. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, everybody is your friend until you try to do something. Mm-hmm. Everybody pats your back until you try to do something. Mm-hmm. When they see you doing something, all of a sudden you realize, if I put something on Facebook or Instagram that's silly and say something stupid, I'll get 1,000 likes. But if I say something about Jesus, or if I say I'm trying to get my company right, or I'm trying to be the best husband or the best father, I might get 2 likes.
Straight up.
Out of those 2 likes, I know at least 1,000 people seen that post.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? I love that. Because one thing about it, you don't have to ever hit like, because I don't care about that stuff anyway. I show people that you can do whatever you want to do, because you just got to go out and do it.
That's it.
And it's funny, we just had that conversation before we actually came up.
Really?
You know, we posted things on Instagram, Facebook, you know, just giving people an opportunity to join in with us and celebrate this occasion right now.
Right.
And I think total, we may have gotten about 20 likes.
Yeah. Dude, the thing is, that happens a lot. One thing that I've read, the reason for that is, you know, people always want to be on board when you're joking and playing, because they're on the same field. Everybody's on the same playing field, right? Once you talk about your business and you're on your own doing things,
they feel
uncomfortable. They've not stepped out of that comfort zone to achieve more. So you make them feel bad about themselves to a degree. So they don't like.
But you know, you think about this quarantine, you think about this coronavirus, and like you said, is it that bad or is it not that bad? But the thing is, one thing I can tell, everybody has to agree that quarantine, if you're a family, if you have a family, and you was at home with your family these last 2 months, you've learned something. Either you love your wife or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You sit there with your kids, you realize, okay, my son needed me to be home. You know what I'm saying? My wife needed me to be home to do this and do that. One thing about quarantine, if you can't find spirituality, something's wrong. If you come out of this and you broke, something is wrong with you. You need to check yourself, because if this, your 10-year plan failed to 10-month plan. You know what I'm saying? If you had a 10-year plan, when this virus hit and they shut the world down, that plan got dropped. Mm-hmm. You didn't have 10 years to do a damn thing. Everything was like, okay, now we got to, you know what I'm saying? You got to do whatever you got to do to get to that money now. You know what I'm saying? Or to save yourself. In other words, if the world shuts down, they letting us know. Like, wherever you work at don't mean nothing now. You know what I'm saying? Because now is the time to say, you know what? I no longer want to do TSA. I want to do something else. Because I've been sitting at home now. You know what I'm saying? And that's the time. When the world opens back up, it's going to be a lot of people going to different careers. Because people are seeing the light. And this is just nothing but God saying, you know what? Y'all are too much in the world. I'm going to take it away from you. So now you got to start from scratch. If you come out doing the same stuff you did when you went in, you're going to have some issues in life. You better get it now.
That's it.
That's real.
So how long do you think that'll last, that sense of, you know, the change that you're talking about? You know, because listening to you speak, I kind of drift back to 9/11.
Right.
When, you know, for two, maybe 3 months after 9/11, there was this incredible sense of unity across the country.
Man.
Everybody
color,
was
right.
holding hands and singing Kumbaya. And then, you know, about 3 months later, it was all about road rage and, you know, F you. And it was we went right back to individual.
Well, think about it. We've started that now. You know, with the large crowds and everything, everybody's they're tired of being cooped up in the house. They want to go have fun and do this. I mean, so we've gotten back, we've started getting back to the norm.
Right.
Unfortunately, I think it's a little bit sooner than what it should be, but we have.
Interesting times.
Yeah, I mean,
interesting time.
You know, I tell everybody, you know, we're getting a lot of this. We seeing the parties, we seeing the people already going out, and everybody's like, man, they gonna pass the corona. Let me tell you something. When I was 18 to 25, if this thing would have hit when we was in that age group, they weren't gonna keep us in the house, bro. We were going there that first week because we were scared. But after 2 weeks, we're like, oh, I ain't caught nothing. And they finna open up this club or this bar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I don't call the young people stupid. I just wish they would listen and be more careful, because at the same time, I feel like they are going out, but I bet you they got hand sanitizer in their car. I bet you they're washing the hell out their hands. You know what I'm saying? So I think this whole thing has changed. All of us can admit, hey, man, how many times you went to a public bathroom and you see a guy that didn't even look at the sink, let alone go wash his hands? But right before they shut the airport down, when I go in the bathroom now, it's a line to wash your damn hands. You see what I'm saying? So the scare factor works.
Yeah.
That's one thing we
can't.
Yeah, it works, bro. It's going to do what it does, you know? So at the end of the day, I just think that this, like you said, man, these are crazy times. 9/11 was the same thing. It wasn't about race. It was about, man, we're going to get them, because they said them are the ones who blew us up.
Right.
So all us came together as Americans. It was we are powerful Americans. Right. And then after a while, you go back to, you pull me over again, I beat you, you know.
Right. Yeah. I think that's what people fail to realize is the longer we hold on to that, it's a we thing. Everybody is one. We're all the same children of God, period. It does not matter, you know.
Say that.
Know, race, religion, it doesn't matter as far as sexuality, anything. It's we're all God's children.
Right.
If we all come as one, dude, then nothing can stop us. We can achieve and do anything we want to. It's just most people don't have that vision, that understanding. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
So what has changed in the past, would you say, 10, 12, 15 years that has sped that sense of individuality and I have no neighbor, I am the I in team?
Dude, it's everyone wants to be an individual. I don't know, like...
Think about, and what I'm pushing towards is this example of when we're in a restaurant. I think you and I were dining. I don't know. It's been a while, but there was some. You know, you look around the restaurant. What do you see at other tables? You see people on their what? They're not talking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everybody's on their cell phone. Everybody's doing their own little thing. You know, I'm sure y'all see it when y'all go out to dinner.
Of course,
families just sitting there. Even like best friends or business partners. Everyone's on their phone, like chatting a little bit with who's at the table, but on their phone the whole entire time.
Right. Right. I think one of my rules is when me and my wife and kids go out, there's no phones, there's no tablets, there's nothing while we're sitting at the table.
That's a good rule.
It's a conversation. We have to have a conversation. My 13-year-old son, I need to know what's going on in his life. My 7-year-old, she got to tell me about whatever she did in school or what's hot on TV. Me and my wife need to talk about certain things and just have casual conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do that, you're losing your family.
Exactly.
But here's the sad fact, though, is you are now... You're the minority. You're not the rule.
Exactly.
I mean, you're fighting an uphill battle.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And another thing, we was talking about who likes what you do or who don't. It doesn't even matter because you have your circle. I have my circle. I know who I can fall back on. I expect certain people to do certain things. And if you don't do it, you are in my circle. So why am I mad at you? I wasn't expecting you to do a thing. But I expect him to do it. And if he don't do it, whatever my situation is, when I come out, he's going to be the first one to get knocked out.
Your circle just got a little smaller.
There you go, right? So...
No, our circle is going to be what it is.
Yeah,
like, you
exactly.
know, we have that love-hate relationship. You know, I love them when I love them. When I dislike them, I can't stand them. You know, but at the end of the day, I know if I can rely on one person, I can call him for anything.
No, you guys ever duke it out? Just get a friendly.
Oh, man, we was in New Orleans, man. Oh, come on. I had to put these hands on him, man. I slammed him about four times. That's all. All that size don't mean nothing. I'm telling you, man.
I just want y'all to know, every single time he tells this story, he adds a time.
Yeah, he adds an extra slam. So you're saying you got slammed.
I mean,
we my point. Hold on. You see how big he is, right?
No, real quick.
Real quick, for all the listeners. Like, LT, how tall are you? How big are you?
I am 5'10", 195.
All right.
Now you say your size. Now you speak on it.
Hey, well, first of all, let's go ahead and say we had a lot of alcohol. That was a lot of alcohol.
So you fell down, right?
I fell down, and he took advantage of that. And it's cool. I couldn't do anything but laugh because it was funny. He's held on to this story for at least 9 years.
He's 6'4".
Every single
300 pounds.
Nobody asked you.
Glory days, baby. I feel you, LT. I'm with you, man.
My man.
Yeah, he told his story. Leave it there. We good.
All right, real quick. Going back to business. Right, so how long ago did y'all start y'all's business? And like, just first tell me there, then I got a couple more questions I want to ask. All right. So how did y'all start everything?
The business was started in October 2015.
All right.
It was started for the simple fact that I was tired of, I never wanted to work for anybody. Never. This was actually the third business that I started.
Gotcha.
You know, the first business was I used to clean older people's homes.
Well, I got to be older people's homes.
I mean, right.
I mean, I'm going to put it, I clean anybody's homes who needed their home cleaned. That didn't last long.
He's not a good cleaner. He's not good with cleaning.
Is that what it is? Oh,
that's why it was old people, because they couldn't see how
they
bad it was.
They couldn't smell those. So that failed because your hygiene is not good. So what's the next business?
Oh, man, hygiene. What?
Oh, see.
That was left field, baby.
A 20-year friendship. This is what you get. Right? That's exactly what you get.
That's why you ain't got no friends.
Hey, that's exactly why. That's exactly why his circle is extremely small. The only reason I deal with him because I can't get rid of him. So.
I feel that.
The other business, it was a security business. Unfortunately, in this industry, trying to get information from other individuals is very hard.
As far as it applies to starting a security business?
As far as starting a business, period. Okay. You have to align yourself with people who have your best interests at heart that don't mind sharing the information.
It's just like anything else. It's who you know.
Right.
It's who you know that's already doing this that will bring you under their wing.
Exactly.
And you would be amazed. A person would speak to you every day and tell you, man, you got it going on. You the man. And then when you come to him and say, yo, can you help me with this? Hell no.
Because you're competition.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And yep. He had to learn that. You know what I'm saying?
I learned that hard.
People ain't on your side, and it's not on your team. So you have to hit it harder. Right. It's even harder. And the funny part about it, bro, we went to minorities. We went to other blacks that had companies, thinking that he gonna look out for me. I can tell you today, the reason why we're starting to be successful and getting the things that we're getting came from a white man. And now, don't get me wrong. I don't care about the color when it's about business.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the end, only thing that matters is the green. But the perception of because I'm black or because you're white, this person gonna help you. Sometimes that don't work, man. Especially in our favor, it didn't work. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let me ask you a question then, because when Danny was doing his intro, he said something about it being a black-owned business or something.
Yeah.
But then you just said the black. Doesn't matter.
No, it's still black on. We own it. We black as hell. So,
but I'm saying, why even bring that up?
Well, hold on. Let me tell you why you have to bring it up. Because in the industry, the security industry, if you had a security company and you brought us under your umbrella to help us get a contract, you get a hit from the taxes. You get more money to bring in a minority company. So when people say why do you always talk about minority? You have to. You have to, because if you don't, it's the same thing with a black coach in the NFL. You see, they had to come up with the Rooney Rule to get a black coach a job in the NFL. So it's the same thing on a smaller level.
Yeah.
You know, because when you go to the conventions that we go to, the security conventions, it's 95% white owned. Most of the security companies in America and the world are white owned. It's a minority in almost every powerful thing you do. It is a minority. You know what I'm saying? So we definitely not coming out saying, hey man, do this because we're black. Because we don't want the quote unquote minority contracts. You know what I mean? What I'm saying? I don't want to, we don't do clubs. I'm not going to do a club. I want to do a high-end restaurant. I want to do a high-end hotel. I want to do the World Congress Center. So that's our mindset. That's where we at. We're getting it. Because the only way you're going to get to the money, and when you say money in the business, that means your company is growing, is doing something. Exactly. You can't think little. I don't think little. We think big. So we're going after, because every contract that's out there, we can get it because we're certified. We went and got all our certifications that we needed as far as a security company. We're armed. We got the insurance we need. We got the training we need. And we got the 25 years experience. So we got everything that we're supposed to have, but that still don't mean nothing. You still have to go after it the way you have to go after it.
Not only that, but we're DBE certified, African American Business Enterprise.
Yeah.
We're Minority Business Enterprise. So we have all the certifications to where these companies actually come look for us.
Yeah. Let's go down that trail, too, where LT was talking about going after the contracts. Now, what all is involved in that?
A lot of political.
It's who you know, like you said earlier, your network.
Definitely who you know. Definitely networking.
Definitely, yeah.
You have to put yourself out there. You have to do stuff for free sometimes. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of talking to middle people to try to get to the individuals that actually make the decisions.
Right.
It's a lot of shucking and jiving.
It's also a lot of education. We had to educate ourselves on the business that we're doing.
Right.
Our business is security, so we had to go and join ACES. We had to go and join everybody. We had to spend thousands of dollars to join these movements so we can have our name in the right place at the right time, just to be mentioned for a contract. So if it was contracts coming up and you already hooked up, you would know about it. We wouldn't know about it because we got to go out there and make sure people know where we are.
Exactly.
So it's definitely. You can't sit back and say, I got a security company, that's it. And then when I start talking to you about certain things you need to know, you don't know it. I can't deal with you. I got to move on because I'm not there anymore. I'm on a whole nother level with my security company. So I got to make sure if you're not there, I can show you. But I know at this point in my life or as a business mind, you can't hold nobody's hand.
Right.
Right.
You can only say, hey, bro, you need to go this way to get this done.
So now knowing what the challenges were before you set out on this journey.
Uh-huh.
But you still decided to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what did that decision stem from? I mean,
for the simple fact that we love what we do,
security.
We love it. Well, you know, we've been doing it for a while.
So you just wanted to be on the top side versus the employees.
You always want to be on the top side of everything that you do. And like I say, you know, not only that, but teaching the youth on business, you know, teaching them and showing them what they need to do to get to another level. Employing other individuals, you know, those are goals.
Yeah.
You know, one of the goals that we have is making sure we have at least 500, 600 employees mm-hmm. within the next couple of years.
And how long you been in business now?
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
But really, the last year and a half to 2 years is we've been seeing that quote unquote yellow brick road.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, everything that you do in life comes from something.
Exactly.
What comes from me is where I was born and raised, how I was born and raised. My mother, the way she did things, she was a steel mill worker that went and worked every day so we can have something. You know, I'm from Chicago, and it's like, I'm not going to let you not have, but I'm going to show you how to go get because I want you to follow my lead. So that woman got up tooth and nail and did jobs in a steel mill that men were supposed to do.
Single parent?
Single parent, yes, to do what she needed to do. You know what I'm saying? So when you see that and you know it's like this, it's either so for me, I couldn't say I don't know what to do because I do know what to do because I was raised that way.
Right.
So when you ask the question, what made you want to go up here? It's in us. That's what you do. His mother the same way. When you get raised and you see struggle, but every time I ever opened up the refrigerator, it was food in there.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Right. And my next door neighbor didn't have that option. So when you look at that, you have to push. And then when you start having your own family, you want your kids to do what you do. They know. My son know. My little 7-year-old know. Daddy gets out here and he go do it.
Every
you know
day.
What I'm saying?
Every day.
But so your mom instilled that work ethic that,
yes,
look,
yes.
You can always have more, but you got to work for it. So get out there, work for it, get on the grind, bust your butt, and you can have more.
She instilled it, but life made it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
The world made it happen. It's either, hey, bro, nobody care about you. You know what I'm saying? Either you get out here and you bust your butt, you learn what you need to learn, you grind, you go out here and get it, because nobody going to give it to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not knocking nobody. If working at Kroger's is your thing, I love you for it. Do what you do. But for me, I wanted things. I want things. You know what I'm saying? We got an old saying, man, I like cheese with my ham sandwich. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you go get a sandwich, you got to ask for cheese.
Yeah.
They don't just put it on there no more. So to have that, you got to work. You got to have the mentality to want it. it, bro. You know what I'm saying? You look at a lot of people look at the Puffies and all these great guys that's getting this $600-700 million. That's fine, bro. But you know, you look at your life and where I'm at, I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? To me, I'm Puffy. You know what I'm saying? I got the same mentality. You know what I'm saying? Can I come out with a bottle of Ciroc? Mine might not be called Ciroc, but you know, if you buy it and drink it, I'm good with that. But my mind state is just like those guys. You know what I'm saying? I don't think like I'm lesser than anybody because I believe in the Most High. And what he told me is you're a son of mine. So you go out and get it. So I look at those guys and I appreciate them. I love them. I salute them. But I, in my mind, if you talk to me, I think I'm better than him. You know, because it's not about money. It's who I am.
Right.
Like, I am a strong personality. So wherever I go, I'm going to turn the room out. That's just me.
Always.
Yeah.
I got a question for you there. Cause I'm gonna, if it's yours, you're going to go out and get it. You're going to make it happen. So y'all started years ago with a business.
Yes.
So, like, when you first started out, how many guys, just you two? And then, like, how many employees did y'all have? Like, it kind of taught me to where you're at now. And, like, you talked about the 10-year plan.
Right.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
On the moon, baby.
But yeah, listen. I was going to say, in 10 years, we don't work. We don't see...
I see myself in somebody's country on a beach I've never been before.
Exactly.
But that's another time for another story. But let me tell you how it works when you talk about employees. Now, you do have major companies that employ 500, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So this is called contract work. So we got a security company, and I got a email list of at least 1,000 people that I can call at any time. Mm-hmm. When I was doing the BET Awards and the Soul Train Awards, I was doing scheduling as well.
Right.
So we ran the security and I also did the scheduling. So I had to schedule each shift depending on what the show was doing. So you sit back and you make the schedule from the guards that you have. So you know what I'm saying? We call in all the people we know and we set in a schedule. We had maybe have 100 people working the early shift and then 100 people working, you know, the evening shift and then show day. When you got to bring everybody in, you may have 350 people that you're running that whole day. So I get up at, you know, you get up for the crack of dawn and then you come back home when it's done. You don't sit down. And that's the experience. That's what I was telling you. That's the experience when you got to do that. You know, that makes you understand that I can do that. I'm proud to say that these televised shows that people, my peers and my friends seen, I'm the one who ran the background. I'm the one who made sure these celebrities was safe. That came from me. You know what I'm saying? I got that to say. But I don't brag about it, but it's there. Like, and that's why I tell you when it comes to the Puffy thing, hey, bro, I got that on lock. I did that. You know what I'm saying? That's what I did. You know?
Hey, one funny story that we always joke about, you know, working with DOA. I was fine working with DOA. I worked the back end where I did access control, all of that. After a point when you have an individual to tell you you're not qualified to do certain things anymore, it bothers you. It sets another fire up under your ass, and it makes you get out there and do things 10 times more than what you would do.
Amen. Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of the stories we always joke about, because without God putting me in another position, you know, they moved me from the back to the front. And when I moved to the front of that department, that's when I started being able to make different moves.
But he was mad as hell. He was mad. I can't believe they doing this for me, man.
I was hot.
Yeah, I'm hot. But the minute they moved him to the front, the contracts that we got came from him meeting those people in the front.
Right.
So you never know your blessing until you get it, bro.
Right.
For real.
Like, everything happens for a reason. I believe that.
And he was crying, too, man. Like,
oh, come on.
Like, tears running down.
Yeah, like.
LT, help. Yeah.
Like, she's out of my life, Michael Jackson type crying. Like, he was,
big baby tears.
I shed a tear. I'm not gonna lie, because, like I said, when you put the work ethic and the time into something, and for someone to come put something in your face and say that you can't do it, you're not qualified to do it when I've done it for 3-4 years, that's a problem.
See, he about to cry. He gonna cry when we get in the car. He gonna cry when we get in the car.
They hit a soft spot, man.
I'm gonna give him a hug after this show.
You know what I'm saying? Well, real quick, guys, we gotta start winding things down. So we ain't got but about 40 seconds left. So let everybody know.
We can go another day or two with this.
Bro, we're gonna have y'all back out. Now, let everybody know how they can reach out to you, how they can contact you, whatever they can contact you for. Let everybody know, all the listeners for you.
You definitely can reach us at on the website, MDS, www.mdssecurityatl.com. That's www.mdssecurityatl.com. You also can reach out to me at 678 435-3277.
There you go, man. I mean, he gave his number online. You
there
know,
you go. Oh, that's his private cell?
Yeah. No, that's the business cell.
Oh, that's the number you guys call for me too. Whatever number he gave you, that is the number that you're gonna do your thing. But listen, to close out, man, I definitely gotta say what's up to my wife Tanya, my son Leonard, my daughter Ashley, and Lauren. That's my backbone. That's what makes me go. To everybody that supported us, man, well, you know, we appreciate it. The people who gave us the go ahead to first start our companies and everything we ever did, we appreciate it.
Definitely.
And thank you guys for giving us this opportunity to come and just let people hear our voice. And always the Most High, man.
Love it. Amen. Yeah. All right, folks, you heard it right here. So the MDS Security, if you got any kind of security needs, give them a call. Reach out to them. Go on their website. Look them up. Contact them. And they will take care of you 100%. So, folks, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, you are stronger than failure.
Stronger than failure, baby.
Yeah, stronger than failure, where we provide you with in-depth interviews with entrepreneurs on their struggles, victories, goals, and how they got started. We also give you the best tips, hacks, and information on sales, network marketing, credit, and mindset mastery. Entrepreneur and author, Danny Cole. Stronger than failure.